congregation, we will open the Word of God and we will read the scripture reading that is Exodus 29, verses 38 through 46. Exodus 29, we start reading at verse 38 and we read on to the end of the chapter, verse 46. And there we read God's Word. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine, for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening, and shall do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. The text for the sermon this morning in this baptismal service is verse 45 and 46. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Beloved congregation, every religion brings sacrifices. Wherever you go through the world, if you look at the pagan religions, if you go to the north of Siberia, there the people, they sacrifice reindeer blood to their idols. And I spoke to a missionary from Papua New Guinea, and there they sacrifice pig's blood to their idols. Throughout the world, all people realize that they must sacrifice something. Some atonement must be made towards their God or their idol, whatever it is. The Muslims, they sacrifice sheep. And where does this come from? That every religion knows that they need to gain the approval or the blessing of their gods by bringing sacrifices. Calvin tells us in his commentary here that it originates from the very first beginning of mankind. Noah came out of the ark, our first father after the flood, and he brought sacrifices. And prior to that, before the flood, sacrifices were brought. Because people realize they need to, as they understand, buy the favor of their gods. Or that they need to be forgiven for their sins. So blood needs to be offered. Now the pagans have polluted this initially pure religion that was originally passed on, they polluted it by superstition. And so whatever remained of this true religion has been spoiled and has now become pagan religions. The fact that sacrifices need to be brought is also found here in this portion of Scripture we read. And that through these sacrifices, the Lord is willing to live with His people. We are in a service of administration of holy baptism. And there the Lord comes very close to us and to our children. It's fundamentally the same as what the Lord Jesus did to those little children they brought to Him. He took them up in His arms. He embraced them and blessed them. That has happened this morning to Adeline. That's how close the Lord came to your child and is still close, as we will see here in this sermon. The Lord says that He is willing to be their God, even more than that, that He is their God. It's not only that He is willing, and it is not that we have to fulfill certain conditions, and if we then meet the mark, then God will be willing to be our God. No. Without any conditions. I am the Lord, your God. That's what God says. And then you open a whole fullness of grace, mercy, strength, everything you need. And it says here even that He dwells with His people. That He lives with them. It's a great, unspeakable privilege. God dwelling with man. And that's the third theme of the sermon. God dwelling with man. And we see the miracle of that. We see the blessing of that. And the knowledge of this. So the portion of Scripture we read now explains the need that every day among the people of Israel, they had to bring a morning sacrifice as well as an evening sacrifice. There had to be a lamb with some other food offerings attached to it. So a lamb had to be slaughtered in the morning, and also a lamb had to be slaughtered in the evening. And then the Lord would dwell among His people. He would live with them. Boys and girls, we can wonder, where does God live? You ever ask yourself that question? Where does God live? What do you think? Well, God lives in heaven. He is enthroned there. And all power is unto Him. He determines everything what happens. When a leaf falls from off a tree, the Lord leads that. The Lord leads all things. Not a hair can fall from your head without His will. You see, the Lord is in control of all things. From heaven, He is leading everything. That's where God lives, high in the heavens, seated upon His throne. So we can say God lives in heaven. But it's not the only place. Because in Isaiah 57 we read, "Thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." So the Lord lives in heaven, but He also lives in the hearts of those who humble themselves before Him. And how is it now possible that God can live in a sinful person's heart? Because He is the holy God, and we are unholy, defiled people. We don't fit together. And how can the holy God, who is too holy even to observe sin, that he dwells in a sinful heart, a person who is by nature filled with enmity against the Lord? How can that be? It's not fitting. And yet it happens. God dwells with those who are humble. We find the answer in what we just read here in Exodus 29. There the Lord commands that sacrifices needed to be brought. And when the Lord sees these sacrifices, then he's willing to live with such people. It's because of the sacrifice that God was willing to dwell in the midst of Israel. He was living among them. And the sacrifices of the Old Testament, they remind us and they point forward to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of all these sacrifices. So the Lord Jesus shed his blood on the cross, and that is the reason why now the holy God can dwell in a human heart, because he does that through and because of the sacrifice of his Son. Through the sacrifice of his Son, there was an opening made. The possibility was opened. Because what happened when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, boys and girls, what happened there? What happened in the temple when the Lord Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross? The curtain in the temple tore right through the middle. And people could look right into the Holy of Holies. They're never allowed to be there or even to look there. Now they could do that. That was a dwelling place of God. And that means that through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, that God could dwell with people. That sinners have access to God because of that sacrifice. Now there may be a living communion between an unholy people and a holy God. And it's all based upon the sacrifices. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is far too holy to live in our hearts. Because we are defiled. And therefore the Lord gives us also the sacrament of holy baptism. To show us that we are filthy. And we need to be cleansed. Just as our bodies are cleansed by water. So our soul needs to be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus brought an atonement for sins, and now God can live with his people. He can live with his sinful people. Among Israel, a lamb had to be offered every morning and every evening. It had to be a continual burnt offering throughout their generations, and this was beside all the other sacrifices that were prescribed in the books of Moses. And when the sacrifices were brought, then the priest would pray. It was his task to pray in the temple for the people who were outside doing their work. He had to pray for them. And that all shows us the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, but also the intercession of the Lord Jesus. That he is doing the same in heaven, praying for his people. And we need his intercession. And the Lord Jesus can intercede for his people because of his sacrifice on the cross. Calvin writes here that we all need the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God can listen to no prayers without the intercession of Christ. God cannot listen to prayers where there is no atonement. Therefore we need to pray through the Lord Jesus Christ to God. And that's why, boys and girls, we always pray for Jesus' sake at the end of a prayer. So we plead upon that finished work of the Lord Jesus. And that's the way how God can answer our prayers. And so there may be communion with God through the sacrifice. And now the Lord God set up all these ordinances among Israel. And why did the Lord do that? Because he wanted to dwell with the people of Israel. He wanted to be among them. And on the basis of these sacrifices, the way was opened that the Lord would actually dwell among them. He declared to them that he was their God. He was among them. He was their covenant God. And these matters are still valid today. God establishes his covenant with us and our children. And the Lord says to us personally, I am the Lord your God. And that miracle is earned by the Lord Jesus Christ because of his sacrifice. And now the question comes to us. Do we realize that we are impure, that we are defiled? Does that weigh upon us? Do we lay that before the Lord in prayer? And do we say, Lord, I need thy sacrifice to cover my life. And because of that finished work of the Lord Jesus that was declared upon me when I was baptized, wilt thou send forth thy Holy Spirit, who was promised to me also in my baptism, to show me who thou art, and that thou wouldst live with me. You know, then it becomes a real miracle. A miracle that God dwells with people. The high and the lofty one, that he dwells with people. And in that dwelling, he offers himself. It doesn't mean that all those people are then automatically saved. But the Lord dwells among his covenant people, also among the covenant people of Israel. They could see the Lord was with them when they saw the pillar of a cloud. Every time there was difficulty, they could look up and realize there is this cloud. The Lord is with us. He dwells among us. And it was a call to conversion. It wasn't a call to complacency, but it was a call to repentance. And when the Lord says, I am your God, that's a call to you and me to repent and to turn to this God and to realize I must be born again and I must know him with my heart and soul and that I can learn these things because he is beside me. He dwells with me, and he is willing, and he is able to teach me and to give me everything I lack. It's a miracle, but it's also a blessing, because the text says, I will dwell among the children of Israel. It's a blessing, a miracle. And what does that actually mean? That means that God the Father adopts us as his children. Yes, God the Father adopts us as his children. And God the Son declares that he washes us from all our sins. And that God the Holy Spirit declares that he is willing to apply unto us that which we have in Christ. That's how close the Lord God comes. And it's an implicit call to repentance. It's a promise. It's a declaration. And because of that declaration, we may call upon the name of the Lord, asking him all we stand in need of. And we need light to see who we are. Because the covenant does not save us, of the covenant declares who God is for us. And it's a call how we must be for Him. That's the covenant. And it comes so close to you when you see this. And that you may call upon Him for everything you need. In daily life. In life to come. In spiritual life. Everything. That's an inestimable blessing. How close the Lord God comes. And when you see this, you will have much expectation from this God. And you won't start reasoning what if, or if I'm not, or if. No, you just look at that glorious reality that the Lord God dwells with you. He's close to you, beside you. You cannot see Him, but He's there. I will dwell among the people of Israel. And that's what the covenant is, that He dwells in our home. And He should be able to dwell in our home. That we don't allow things in our home which would grieve the Holy Spirit. But that we would be a people separated from the world and devoted to Him. What a great privilege. Those people of Israel, how blessed they were. Even at night they could see the fiery pillar. They knew they could see the Lord dwells with us. But they didn't believe Him. They looked at their own abilities. They looked at the circumstances they were in. But they failed to look at Him who was dwelling with them. They didn't believe Him. And they rebelled against Him. They wanted to go their own way. They said, it'll all come to nothing. That's what they said. We better go back to Egypt. Let's choose us another leader and we'll go back to Egypt to slavery. That's what they said. Because they failed to look at that column. And they failed to listen to what the Lord had said, I will dwell among you. And you know, it's sad that we have the same heart, because we are also inclined not to believe the Lord and to go our own way and to look at the circumstances we are in, and we look at our own calculations and we look at all kinds of things, but not to the Lord. That's unbelief. And unbelief is a terrible sin. That you don't believe that God speaks the truth. And yet we are all infected by it. But we are called to recognize who God is. That He dwells among His people. That He is able and willing to deliver. And so you may ask everything you need of this covenant God. And He is compassionate. He is merciful. And you will sense His compassion, His mercy. We can be in difficult circumstances. There can be certain worries in life. Don't you ever have worries in life? Are you never concerned about your health? Don't you ever face complex difficulties? There are disappointments in life, are there not? Troubles weigh upon us. But in all these matters, there's an all-powerful God, and He dwells with you. He is beside you. He's close to you. And he wants you to bow your knees and to call upon his name for everything you need. And he is with you. He will not forsake you. You will sense his guidance. When you have to see the doctor, or when you just went in for surgery, and you were looking up against that surgery, or when you went in for treatments, and we can wonder how will things go. But the Lord is a refuge, because he dwells with his people. The people of Israel, they could trust that the Lord who was with them would feed them in a barren, dry, howling wilderness. They could trust him that he would give them water, even out of a dry rock, because he is the Almighty God. And this is the blessing of covenant people. If only they see it and realize it, if only they are moved even to tears that this God is close to them, next to them, willing to help, to deliver, to save to the uttermost. And he will never drop you when you look to him. When you flee to him, he will never push you away, but he will take you in his arms. And at times you may feel his love and his nearness and his kindness, that you are moved even to tears. That's blessing. That's the reality. Yes, the reality of covenant people. And you may look to him. And how often has the Lord not provided for you? How often have you not had it? I've had it. I look up against certain matters, certain treatments even. And that the Lord made things so well that I felt nothing. It went so well because the Lord is with his people. He is among his covenant people. You know, we should not look horizontally. We should look vertically. There is God in all his fullness ready to help you. When you go in for treatments or for tests or whatever it is, he is there. He's not going to drop you. He is with you. And the struggles at work you have, and the problems you may have at work, or maybe in your domestic affairs, the Lord is an inexhaustible fountain of wisdom and grace ready to give to you. He's full of goodness. And so we need the Lord. And what do we need the Lord for? Well, many things. But the greatest distress is our sin. That's your and my greatest problem, that we will be delivered from our sin. And we need God's Holy Spirit to renew us, to give us a new heart, that we would walk in his ways. We must be converted. We need this conversion. That's what baptism tells us, that we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we are born again. Has that happened in your life? Have you been born again? Do you know of a change in your life when everything became different? Maybe it was gradually. Maybe it was sudden. But when everything revolved around the Lord, that all of a sudden you needed God in your life more than ever before, and that your heart longed for the living God, and that he became most important to you. What do you think of every day? What weighs upon you most? You see, the bent of our life must be upon God. And we can't give that to ourselves. It's something the Holy Spirit works out. And then there will be love to this God and a desire to know Him. There's a thirst for Him. That all happens in regeneration. Has that happened in your life? Are you born again? Young man, are you born again? You must be born again. And He is willing to work that out in your life. Because He dwells with you. He dwells with you. And so you may expect all things from Him. He dwells with us through His Word. His Word. When you read God's Word, it is God speaking to you. The Word you hear Sundays in church. The Word you read daily. The Word you receive at catechism or Sunday school. And so it's so important to be at home in God's Word. To read it and to study it. The Lord lives in His Word, but also He lives in the hearts of those who have learned to bow for the Lord Jesus Christ. People who have learned to confess that in themselves there's no good thing and who need the Lord Jesus as their Savior. These are the ones who live by faith in Christ. These are the people of the Lord. Then the Lord God dwells not only with them, but He dwells in them. And that's the richest gift you can ever receive in your life. And how do you know that? When the Lord lives in you. You can see that by the desires you have in your life. Because the desire you will have is to know more of Christ and to be delivered from sin. And you realize that you don't love God as you should. And so your lifelong prayer is, teach me to love Thee, O Lord. Teach me to walk in Thy ways. And His Holy Spirit is given to His people. His Spirit seals in their lives that they belong to God. God grants them His Holy Spirit as a seal, as a marker that they are His and that they belong to Him. It's the guarantee of future everlasting glory. That's what that sealing of the Holy Spirit is. That indwelling of God in the heart of man. These people don't belong to this world. They belong to another world. And they live in trust that this God will be my God forever. And in heaven the Lord Jesus prays for these people who have no other refuge than the Lord. Here in Exodus 29, we find that the sacrifices were brought in the temple and then the priest would pray for them. So the Lord Jesus prays for His people. The Lord dwells among us. That's the rich blessing. And then we see the knowledge of it. Because you see, it's one thing to hear that the Lord dwells among His people, but it's something else to realize this and to know this. That's why we read in verse 46, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. When the people see and realize the presence of God among them, they will be comforted and uplifted. When you realize the Lord is with me, I shall not fear. That gives them deliverance from distress, from terrible need. The Lord is with me. He's on my right hand. That gives such unspeakable comfort. Then we understand the words of the Apostle Paul. If God be for us, who can be against us? There will be difficulties. There may be suffering. There may be hardships. But he is there to lift you up and to bear you and to carry you through, to comfort you. Then you have a refuge in days of trouble. It's such a blessing to have this knowledge that he is with me. In all my extremities, he knows where I am. When after 3 days there was still no water for the people of Israel, the Lord knew that, and he would supply them. When the Amalekites attacked them, the Lord saw that. When you are in sorrow or in distress, the Lord sees that. He knows how to comfort like a mother and to show mercy and to be compassionate like a father. When you know the Lord as your Lord and refuge, you may know that he is watching over you. He is beside you. And through regeneration, he lives in you. He will never forsake you. He will be there to carry you all the way. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not even death. Because the Lord Jesus overarches death and life. And it's a reality. It's a great, stark, deep reality. There are many accounts of martyrs who were called to lay down their life for the Lord. And they were encouraged. They even went into the arenas in the Roman days, even joyfully, knowing that the wild animals were going to be let loose upon them. But they called it the day of their victory. They would be with the Lord. And the Lord was with them. And of course they feared the pain, whatever it was. But they were also comforted that they would not even feel the pain. That the Lord would be with them. One woman gave birth to a child in prison. A Christian woman. And she had pain during the delivery. And they told her, you have pain. And how can you bear the pain that's awaiting you in the arena? And she answered, well, now I am bearing this pain. But tomorrow, when I go into the arena, then it's the Lord Jesus who they're going to hurt. And the Lord's going to make use of me. He is using my body. And he will protect me. And he will bear my pain. There are many literal accounts of how the Lord vividly comforted and protected his people. Even as they were being put to death. That it was not hard for them. Because the Lord was with them. He dwelt with them. He did miracles. It even happened that wild animals were turned away, that they did not even harass the people. It happened in Carthage, a woman, Perpetua, that she had been comforted in advance. A young woman, 21, I believe, that age, she had to go into the arena. She was comforted in advance that the Lord would be with her. And when she was attacked by a wild bull, She was thrown up, and the wild bull trampled upon her, ran over her, and she could get up. But she didn't realize what had happened to her. The Lord had removed all that anxiety because the Lord was with her. And that's the rich comfort of a child of God, to know that God dwells among them, beside you. Wherever you are, whatever you do, and then you may know that the Lord can make all things well, and also with our loved ones who are in suffering, in sickness, in struggles, in disappointments. They may have good hope because the Lord dwells with them and even in them. The Lord is their God. It's such a great, profound reality. It cannot be broken. It's fixed. The Lord says it 3 times in these 2 verses. I am the Lord, their God. And therefore, baptismal parents, Anne-Marie and Martin, you may have hope upon this God. It's a comfort also to your parents and to loved ones who may be with us in this service, that what happened this morning is a token of God's dwelling among his people, dwelling even among his covenant people. And you may have hope upon this God. You may raise your children in real expectation that he will undertake for you and give you wisdom and all you need, because he said, I am the Lord, your God. And then we may think further of that indwelling of the Lord in the future. And we think of Revelation 21. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and shall be their God. That's the future for those who have learned to live for this precious Savior. God will be with them, dwell with them, live with them forever. That's the reality. And that's the comfort, the perspective that is opened up to us this morning. Amen. Shall we pray? O Lord in heaven, we humbly thank thee for what thou hast given us in this service. Lord, what mercy that thou dost condescend to dwell among the children of men. O Lord, we thank thee for the indwelling of thy Holy Spirit in the lives of thy people. O, we pray thee, wilt thou apply what we have meditated on? And may it be, Lord, that thy presence may be experienced in difficulties and in all circumstances, and that so thy people may have good hope upon thee. O Lord, wilt thou grant the grace of regeneration where that is needed, and remember us in mercy. Bring us back again this afternoon. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.